here than any of the best hospitals around the world, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. Get this thing going. That song we just sang about the Waymaker, I heard that for the first time this last Sunday, two Sundays ago. I'm sorry, we've been on the road now for 2.5 weeks, and I can't remember where I was at. Well, that's a trip, getting up in the middle of the night in a hotel, and where's the bathroom? Left, right? But anyway, the song about Waymaker, oh, praise God. He is our Waymaker, our miracle worker. I like that he's our promise keeper. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Because one thing I like about it, there's another rendition of that song where it takes off and adds a little bit to it, where it's talking about even when you don't see it,
amen,
you know he's working.
Amen.
Even when you don't feel it, you know he's working.
Amen.
Because he's a promise keeper.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me just share this about promises in the Word of God. You never go to the Bible looking for a promise. Did that get your attention? You go to the Bible to find God. Because if you don't know the one who gives a promise, then you'll never know if the promise is any good.
Amen. Good. That's good. Amen.
You see, if I don't know you and you want to give me a promise, I'm sorry, I don't know you. I don't know, is your word good or not good? But when I know you, like if your pastor would give me a promise, I go to bank on it. Because I know his character, I know his nature, I know how he's made up. I know that he and his word are one, just like God and his word are one.
Amen.
That's the reason why God's word's good, because God's good.
Yeah.
Your word good, you good. Your word no good, you no good. Somebody say, I love you, Lonnie.
I love you, Lonnie.
Oh, I was needing some encouragement right then. Amen, I did need some encouragement right then. What I wanted to share with you tonight is a passage of scripture the Lord dealt with me here recently about. And if you turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, you're probably thinking right now, you know what I'm going to preach on. I bet you don't. But anyway, the Bible here in this particular passage of scriptures, we know how it starts off about the signs of perilous times. But there's a scripture here, I mean a word within this scripture, I'm going to read it from the NIV, that God really began to deal with me about some misunderstandings, misconceptions on a particular word that I'm going to read in just a moment. And then we're going to go in the Word and we're going to see what God, I believe, is going to bring a fresh look at. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray, if you will, please. Father, as I yield myself to you to be a vessel of ministry, from your heart to the heart of these, your precious people, Father, I pray that the words I speak will be clear, the Lord, they'll be concise, they'll be heard, they'll be understood. But more than anything, Lord, I depend upon your anointing. Because, Lord, I know the anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing is what brings clear understanding and revelation into our lives that we can walk in accordance with it. So, Father, as I yield to you, I pray for every person here tonight that they would be blessed by your word in Jesus' name. And before I move into that, let me say this to those who are leading us in praise and worship. Thank you so much. Not only for those that were leading us in praise and worship, but thank you for joining in. They were leading. We follow their lead. And there was such a holy presence that I want to make sure we maintain that through this evening. Amen, amen. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, I'm going to read from the NIV. The first verse says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Now, I know that's not a revelation to any of you here tonight. I know you've seen it, okay. Well, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, but treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Now, as I was reading these scriptures, the Lord just had one word really stick out in my reading, and he kept bringing me back to it. And it's one word here. The word unforgiving. It says in the last days, there's different things that's going to be running rampant. And in perilous times, it's talking about people being unforgiving. It can slip up in your life without you even realizing it. And listen, anything I'm ministering to you, God first ministered to me. That's why I'm a man of great forgiveness right now, because I saw the power of what it is to be in a position of being unforgiving. But in this passage of scriptures, I want you also to look and mark the 11th chapter. Again, we're going to be looking about forgiveness. In Mark 11, 25 and 26, it says, when you stand praying, by the way, it said when, didn't say if. Thank you for that big amen. It says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have an ought against any, that your Father also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I don't know about you, but there's some verses in the Bible that's just sometimes a little vague. You know, you read, maybe reading in Revelation, it talks about the candlestick, and you think, what's he talking about? But there's other scriptures like this one. This is as plain as the nose on your face. What did he say right there, man, about forgiving? He said that if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. God is telling us, I believe in this. He said, if you want your relationship to be meaningful between you and God, then you're going to have to engage in this process of forgiveness just like he does. Amen.
Amen.
Your response to this process of forgiveness determines God's response to you. For so long, we've talked about our relationship with God. Now listen, that's the number one. That's the number one. You got to be born again. You right with the Lord. But listen, our relationship on this horizontal level is important to God. Because if we're in the body of Christ and there's only one body of Christ, guess what? We're in the same body. There shouldn't be any schisms here.
That's right.
Jesus is the head. We're members, members in particular. So if I do anything against my brother or sister, I'm actually doing it against the body of Christ. And God wants us to see in these last days, there needs to be a stronger presentation of love, a stronger presentation of unity, a stronger presentation of preference, a stronger presence of submission to even one another. Because we're in the same body, family. Listen, if you know Jesus, your Lord, we're brother and we're sister. We're brother and sister. I'm your brother. You may be my sister. I'm not a sister. We're not going down that way. Okay, anyway. So your response to this process of forgiveness determines God's process to you. Our relationship to God, many times is defined by our relationship one to another. Don't you tell me you love God, but you hate your brother. There's some misconceptions about this. There's some myths to the things about forgiveness. But let me just say this to you about forgiveness. The context of forgiveness is always around hurt. Something somebody said or something somebody did. So I begin to look at this from the standpoint, what are some of the myths some people have about forgiveness? One I came up with in my heart was this. I've heard people make this statement, well, they didn't apologize, so I don't have to forgive them. That's not true. That's not scriptural. So let's look at the Word of God here. And to me, one of the greatest places to look at is in Luke, the 23rd chapter. Because I've talked to somebody, I said, hey, so-and-so, they did this. Have you forgiven them yet? And they says, no, they haven't apologized. Well, they think that apologizing is necessary. Somebody to excuse themselves and say, I was wrong. They think that's necessary before you forgive them. Well, it's not. Who are we going to look to? Our model, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, in this passage of scriptures, let me just read several of them here. And let's look in the 23rd verse. It says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers, they gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. 35 says, the crowd watched and the leader scoffed. He saved others, they said. Well, let him save himself. He's really God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers even mocked him by offering him a drink of sour wine. And they, the crowd, they called out to him, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And then a sign was fastened above with these words, this is the king of the Jews. Notice what's happening. Jesus is on the cross. But one thing that really stood out to me more than anything, I think, is they haven't finished what they're doing. He had an attitude of forgiveness.
Amen.
They're still doing it. They're still scoffing him. They're still giving him the sour wine. They're still gambling for his clothes. But even in that situation, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. That's someone, and our Lord Jesus Christ, setting an example as a model. We need to have this attitude. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm not going to let it be an option in my life. I am going to walk and forget. That needs to be our attitude. And as God was bringing this up to me, all of a sudden, he began to show me some people in my life in the past that I needed to make sure that I had forgiven them. So every time somebody was brought up into my heart, I've mentioned them by name and said, I forgive them and I pray for them that they're walking in the center of the will of God, fulfilling his purpose and plan for their life. Man, I just one after the other. And it still happens to me even this week. I was driving down the interstate. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody, oh, Lord, I forgive them. I pray they're walking in the center of your will, fulfilling your purpose and your plan. Be quick to do that. Don't hold on to any offense. But notice in this passage, Jesus really shows us it's, you know, an apology is nice, but an apology isn't necessary. Now, who's the more spiritual here? The people mocking him or the soldiers, or was Jesus more spiritual? Well, Jesus was more spiritual. In other words, who started this process? Jesus did. I used to do a jingle when I was pastoring there in Illinois. It makes no difference who's right or wrong, do what's right. It makes no difference who's right or wrong, do what's right. Somebody's got to start the process. Matter of fact, it's been 25 years since I pastored in Illinois. And last year, the music minister's wife that they now live in Florida called me up and said, Pastor, I've been trying to get you out of my head. I said, what you talking about? She said, oh, somebody's done something, but all I can hear every time I think of them is, it makes no difference who's right or wrong, do what's right. She said, I know I got to forgive them. You know, and praise God, that was in her heart. But what I want you to see here, Jesus is saying, hey, listen, be spiritual, do what's right, start the process, you be forgiving, even if they don't apologize. See, forgiveness doesn't excuse them of their actions. What forgiveness does is stops their actions from destroying your heart. So we forgive. So there's a myth there that, well, you have to apologize before you initiate forgiveness. No, it's a lie. What's another one? Another myth is this. Well, if you forgave me, then our relationship has to stay the same. No, it really doesn't. Sometimes it's easier to walk in forgiveness far from the situation and individual, be honest with you. Amen? But let's look at scripture on this. And the one that the Lord took me to here was the account of the prodigal son. It's where this rich man had two sons. And one son came and said, hey, Dad, I want my inheritance. Let's give us our inheritance now while you're still alive. See, he's got a motive. And you see it carried out later. As soon as the father distributed the inheritance, he immediately took his and went to a faraway country. The Bible says lived in a riotous lifestyle, spent all the finances that he had. Now notice, Daddy didn't chase him. Daddy's not enabling him. Daddy's not just saying, well, that's okay, son. No, the relationship changed when the son went in his rebellious way to live a riotous life. And it wasn't until he was away that famine came into the land. And the Bible said there that he needed to find a job because he'd wasted all his money. The only thing he could find a job was slopping the hogs. But while he was feeding the hogs, he said, well, listen, my daddy's servants have better food than these hogs have, but these hogs, man, that looks good. I think I want some of that, you know. He was hungry, ready to starve. But the Bible says he came to his senses. And he said, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against my father. I am going to return to my father. And the Bible tells us that when he was coming back, well, let me read it here in the 17th verse. It says, when he finally came to his sentence, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned both against heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. But what happens when the son comes home? I believe Daddy's been praying for son. And if you parents here ever pray for your kids, you know, and it doesn't look like it's working, but God's working. Amen. And so what happens, all of a sudden he sees his son from afar off. He says, hey, get a robe, get a ring, get some new sandals, kill the fatted calf. For my son that was dead is now alive. He's coming home. Glory to God. You see, the relationship changed when the son changed it. It stayed changed until there was a change in the son. Then relationships were restored. Don't you think for one second, and I've seen this happen in a lot of people's lives, where people, one was a believer and one was an unbeliever, and they would break, but they had the split, you know, and that one says, well, if you're a Christian, we have to stay together. Well, listen now. God never asked you to stay in a place where you are being abused. Shout me down for preaching good. That's okay. I don't care. No, listen. Relationships, sometimes we have to pray for people and separate ourselves from them as we keep our faith there. But it's not that we're separating. They're separating themselves. And just because you're a believer doesn't mean you have to be abused. That's a myth. That's not true. We forgive, but that doesn't mean you have to stay in that type of situation there, just like the prodigal son, you know, when he left. The relationship changed when the son left. It stayed changed until there was real change in the son. Amen. So, what's the myth? You don't have to forgive somebody until they forgive you. Nope, that's not true. You have to stay with somebody if you've forgiven them. No, that's not true. What's another myth? Well, when you forgive, you should instantly feel better. Oh, I tell you, I know some people that they forgive and they feel worse afterwards. You know, it just begins to run in their heart. But listen, forgiveness isn't a feeling anyway. Right. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a decision that you make in life to choose to forgive. Why? Because Jesus has forgiven you. Amen? Amen. So forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling. Somebody said, well, I don't feel like forgiving them. Who does? Who does? No, feelings, you know, that's your mind, will, and emotions. You know, that's part of that soulish area of man. That's why we need to renew the mind, the soulish area, because you are a triune being. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You house in a body. The culprit really here is the soulish area. That's why we need our minds renewed by the Word of God, because it's the determining factor where this one person is going to go. The unrenewed mind many times will line up with the flesh and the way it feels, and then the spirit is held captive. But when your mind has been renewed to the Word of God, you begin to think like God, act like God, and it's spiritually in tune with God, it and your spirit is in agreement, then your body has no other choice but to tag along. So the real culprit in life is the soulish area. We need to have our minds renewed to the Word of God. If we don't, what's going to happen? Well, they didn't apologize. I don't have to forgive them. Whoops. Oh, I'm a Christian, therefore I just got to let them go ahead and do everything to me. No. What's the other thing? Well, maybe I didn't forgive them because I still feel this way. No, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision that you make. And I believe that God knew that we'd be entering a lot of different things in life, and so he's given us a lot of word to help us. By the way, God doesn't ever get upset with you questioning. The reason why he doesn't get upset, because he has all the answers in his word. And he just loves to share his word, which is his will, which is his decisions, which is everything pertaining to God and the way he thinks, his character, everything about God is found here in his word. So he doesn't mind you questioning things. Just be open to the Spirit of God to teach you his word that will bring knowledge to you. As I shared with Pastor yesterday, knowledge comes first and then understanding. You have knowledge and you go, oh, I understand. But that's where too many believers stop. You need to take the next step, which is wisdom on how to apply the knowledge. Amen. So what do we see here in this? The biblical principle here about forgiving is in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, when he says, don't sin by letting your anger control you. This is the New Living Translation. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. My, why does God say you should be forgiving? Why should you not be angry? The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Listen, don't let that sun go down. Deal with it, in other words, is what he's saying. Because when you don't deal with anger, it can grow and escalate to a place of wrath. And then it grows from there to a place of coercion and manipulation to where you want to get even. Listen, honey, if you ever get to a place in your life where you want to get even with somebody, you're walking in unforgiveness. Say amen or oh me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It grows more intense. Why? Neither give place to the devil is what the King James says. Why? Because you open yourself up to the things of the enemy that you don't ever need to experience. Man walking forgiveness. Devil couldn't do one thing to Jesus. Why? Even hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. He gave no place to the devil. He didn't sin. Jesus was pure. He's our model showing us how we can walk in love and forgiveness as the new creation that we are in Christ Jesus. That's why we don't have to make sure everybody apologizes before we forgive them. That's why we do forgive people, even when they're wrong, but that doesn't mean you have to still stay in that close relationship. You may need to be separate there for a healing to take place. That's why we're not looking just for the feeling that, I feel good now. I feel like I've forgiven them. No, I forgive them because I know Jesus paid the price. Amen. Amen. So we're not to give place to that. One of the best, I think, examples maybe in I hate to say our lifetime, but I did know her, Corrie Ten Boom. Once she came to St. Louis, I was living in Illinois. She was quite elderly at that time. But you probably know the story about the hiding place in Corrie Ten Boom, how her family up in Amsterdam actually helped around 600 families or 800 families escape the Holocaust by hiding them out. But the Nazis said, if you protect any of the Jews, you're going to get the same sentence as the Jews got. Well, they got caught. And so the family, mom and dad and Corrie Ten Boom and her siblings were all taken to a concentration camp. And in the concentration camp, she watched her mom, her dad, and her siblings all die. But she maintained in relationship with the Lord, walking in forgiveness and just believing God and trusting God. As soon as she was out of the concentration camp, she started spreading the good news about the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And she had a group of people, and she was sharing about the forgiveness of God, the love of God, and all of a sudden there's a face that stands out. And all of a sudden she realizes, this is one of the guards in the concentration camp. And it rises up inside of her. She's preaching about the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and inside she's angry. And after it was completed the service, he ran up to her, stuck out his hands, and said, oh, thank you. I needed to know that some of the things I've done in my life, that God would still love me, that God would still forgive me, and had his hand out. And Corey's thinking, I will not shake his hand. God says, shake his hand. So she shook his hand and left, went right to her pastor. And when she went there, she said, what's wrong? I thought I'd forgiven, but I feel this anger rising up inside. And her pastor took her to the entrance of the church where the bell tower was and says, grab a hold of that rope and start ringing the bell. She thinks, I'm dealing with unforgiveness. You want me to ring a bell? Come on, what are we doing here now? So she grabs it, and with the counterweight, it's hard. She has to pull it a few times, and finally it starts ringing, and he says, let go of the rope. She let go of the rope, and the momentum kept ringing for a few times. Then it stopped, but the echo of that ring started going through the sanctuary. Then finally it's quiet. He said, that's what forgiveness is. You got to let go of the rope. It's a decision. It's a choice. And it may sound just as loud when you say, Lord, I forgive him. Those feelings may just be as loud. But in time, as you focus on what Jesus did in your life, it begins to go less and less and less and less. Because forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. Really, in this matter, I guess you could say this. Forgiveness is determining who you're going to put on the cross. Am I going to make you pay for something you did to me? Or am I going to allow what Jesus did pay the price for you? Let me share an example with you. When I was pastor in Illinois back in 1990, I began to build a new building. And that year it was going to be, we were going to get out there in March. Yeah. But it's just about like you all here, you had rain. We had rain too. It wasn't till June before we could get out there and start moving the earth around. Because as soon as we get ready to go out there, the ground is just about dry, it would rain again. Well, finally in June, we're out there. We've dug a couple of borrow pits. We've got elevated the platform of the church up a couple of feet, and we've got so the water would run off through a parking lot. as it was going to be created. We get that done. We get the red iron up. We start putting some skin on it. We got plywood on the roof here, and it starts raining again. And that time, it's November now. It's November. It's not completely enclosed. It rains like that. Plywood swole up to about 1¼ inch thick. And the three guys who had the main contract, we had like 20 contractors, but three guys came together in LLC, and they had their own companies. They didn't have any assets in this, but they sold me the building, was going to do the erection of it. And they came to me on a Friday night and says, we haven't got enough money on this job, therefore we're going to walk off of it. If you don't like it, that's okay, you can sue us, but we don't have any assets in this company, you'll never get anything. I felt the blood come up like this. I wanted to have a lane on a hand service. I just wanted to call fire down from heaven. Grease spot on the carpet, no problem. I'll replace carpet, just get them, God. I'm dealing with these thoughts. Hey, you're pastor, I know it, but I'm just like you. Mine has to be renewed to the word. And it starts raining again. We're in that sanctuary now, 4 inches of water. And we had a double door about like that. We got this plywood sheets. Sanctuary is about 120 by 140. And we're pushing that water out those doors. And all this time I'm thinking, oh, Lord, have I made a big mistake? Have I misused the money of the people? Have I lost my voice to the people? Because this seems like it's a bad decision, because not only did they walk off the job, the money I gave them, they didn't even pay for their suppliers. Now I got a $14,000 lien against the church too. Then it rains a second time. 4 inches of water we're pushing out. November, a little bit later on, another, haven't got a conclusion on how we're going to complete it. Another 4 inches, and it froze. Now we got 4 inches of ice. Yes, Lord, we're going to have a skating rink. Is that what you're trying to tell me, Lord? I don't know. But then we had to thaw out that floor by turning those big units on outside, even though it was open all around here, trying to thaw that ice out. Linda found me at home one day, passed out on the front porch, trying to be a husband, a daddy, a pastor, and oversee the construction. I just went tilt. Didn't know who I was or where I was at. And I tell you what, I said, I come out of that and said, Lord, I need help. And we had help come to us. And another construction company came in to build the building. Long story short, we built it. Now then, this is what happened to me, though. I'm not a person that's had a lot of visions in life, but I did have a vision that day. And I saw the blue sky, and looking down, all of a sudden I realized it's not my eyes. It's the eyes of Jesus looking down. And there I am at the base of that cross. And I heard Jesus say as he looked up, Father, forgive Lonnie, but blame me. I thought, yeah, that's right. That's scriptural. He's my substitute. That's right. That's right, Lord. You paid the price for me. You died for me. But the eyes look back down, and there I'm standing. There's those three contractors. And I heard the Lord say this, Lonnie, forgive them, but blame me. I thought, oh, wait a minute. You're going to have to show me some scripture on this, Lord. What do you mean, blame you for what they did? And boy, I tell you, he took me to 2 Corinthians 10, chapter verse 6. Left-hand page, right-hand column, halfway down. It says, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I knew what God was saying. I need to forgive him. He says, I can't do anything. Remember the scripture we read earlier? Forgive them. You know, Father can't forgive us if we don't forgive them. And I said to Linda one day, I come home, I said, honey, I about killed him today. She said, oh, my God, you did what? I said, no. I'd give him to God and I'd pull him back. I'd give him to God and I'd pull him back. I'd give him to God and I'd pull him back. I about wore him out between heaven and earth. I just about killed him that way, you know. I don't know if any of you ever done that before. You forgive somebody, and the next thing you know, ooh, you know, because I was still basing some of that on my feelings. But I said, Lord, it says in the scripture here that I need to have a readiness to revenge their disobedience when my obedience is fulfilled. I need to see more. He took me over to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. There's no give place to the devil. But boy, when I got down to that last verse, it says, be ye kind to one another. My thoughts weren't kind, no. But be kind, be tenderhearted. Well, hard-hearted seemed a little bit more of applicable at that time, but no, this is God talking to me. Okay, what did he say? Be kind. Be tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So forgiveness he's talking about wasn't forgiveness between me and God, it's forgiveness on the horizontal plane, between me and others. How am I supposed to forgive you? The same way God forgave you. Jesus paid the price for you. This was the revelation that came to me. Jesus did more than just redeem me to the Father. He also paid a price to redeem me to other people, that no longer did I have to hold a feeling inside of me. Well, if I let you go, it's like you get away scot-free. Anybody ever have that thought? All of a sudden I saw, they didn't get away scot-free. Jesus died for them. Not only redeemed me to the Father, but redeemed me to one another. Oh, I tell you, Jesus did a whole lot more for us than we've ever realized. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh, my goodness. Forgiveness is unlocking the prison doors and finding out you were the prisoner. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to someone to set them free and realizing that you were the prisoner. And listen, holding a grudge, it doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Bitterness isn't any good. Forgiving doesn't make you weak. It makes you free. Something else that Corrie Ten Boom said was this. Bitterness is a poison you swallow believing for the death of your enemy. See, bitterness isn't going to do a thing to them, but it'll kill you. Bitterness is a poison you swallow believing for the death of your enemy. So what are we seeing here? There's some things that people have accepted in their life that, well, I don't have to forgive them. They haven't apologized. Or some people are trying to manipulate you and say, well, if you're a Christian, you forgave me. Our relationship has to stay the same. There's this other myth that I just did right then, you know, that if you forgive somebody, you have to feel different immediately. No, that's not right too. Then the one I just mentioned then, that if we forgive someone, it's like they're getting away scot-free. That's not true. Jesus paid that price. Forgiveness does not erase history. But it does blot it out spiritually. Hear what I'm saying? Just like Hitler, he did a lot of things. You can forgive the man, people, the Jews, a lot of them have forgiven. But it was still history. Hear what I'm saying? So in life, there are many things that's trying to hold us back from forgiving. Holding us back and actually keep us in bondage. And many times we haven't seen what the enemy scheme has been. So forgiveness doesn't change them as much as it does to change me. The Lord knew that. That's why he told us to forgive. Amen. So his example, I think, as he's shown us time and time again, that he was willing to pay the price for us. And when I saw those three men down there at the bottom of that cross that time, and I heard Jesus said, Lonnie, forgive them, but blame me. Up to that point, if I saw them, something would just rise up inside of me. After that day, I could see them. I could walk up to them. I could shake their hand. Why? Because that bondage the enemy was trying to keep me in was released because the truth of God's word. Jesus paid that price. So, I forgive you can be translated, I apply Jesus to your account. His death satisfies what your offense deserves. Because that's what he said he'd do for you, but he'll do it between you two. So I can hinder God working in somebody's life if I don't forgive them. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Because if you forgive not, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. So I forgive, and it sets me free, but I also forgive, and it gives God the right now to move in their life. having in a readiness to revenge their disobedience when my obedience is fulfilled. So by being obedient to God and forgiving, I am releasing God's power, God's anointing into people's lives. And I tell you what, we could sit here and we could show our scars on our arms, all the times we've been hurt, people said this, people did that. But I tell you what, all that does is bring you to remembrance. I'd rather just simply remember this: Jesus Christ is my Lord. He took my place and he took their place too. And we all can go free. Amen. What's another lie? I can't forgive myself. My, that's a big one. I can't forgive myself. Don't you understand when you say you can't forgive yourself, what you're doing, you're judging yourself as being unworthy? You better watch judging anybody, yourself or anybody else. You're in some deep trouble if you do that. You can forgive because the Lord Jesus and his blood can wipe out the effects of your past. Remember how Paul was out persecuting Christians all the time? Man, I tell you what, he's whooping on them, he's tying them up, he's hauling them off to prison, you know. But later on, after his conversion, he said, I have wronged no man. He could hold his head up. Why? Because I tell you what, he forgave others and he forgave himself. I've wronged no man. Only Jesus can release you from your past. Only Jesus can set those jail doors open. But the deception is Satan tries to say that those bars are closed. I just had a thought right then. There was that Western, it was a comedy. There's a new sheriff in town. And I remember there, and he went in there, but as he opened a door, here's the jail cells, but there's no bars. So he got that one guy, I remember that, he stuck him in that jail. He took some paint, put on the floor first, then took some red paint and splattered in like that. And so he said, listen, the bars are coming, but don't you do what the last guy did, because this is your bars. That right there is what happened to the other guy. And that guy believed it and stayed inside that prison, and there was absolutely no doors. That's how the enemy tries to deceive us. And we can get into a pattern of holding grudges. We can get to a pattern of not forgiving people. There was a bear used in a zoo, not a zoo, in a carnival, circus. Yeah, but he was kept in that cage on wheels, and that bear, all he did was walk three steps to the left and three steps to the right all day long. That's all he did, back and forth. He got to be old, so they took him to the zoo and said, would you like to have this bear? They said, sure. So they put him out in this big arena. What'd that bear do? Three steps to the right and three steps to the left. You see, you can be free, but if you let your past govern you, you'll stay in bondage. Jesus set you free. Stop taking three steps left, three steps right. Get out of that pattern of unforgiveness. Get out of that pattern of holding a grudge. Get out of that pattern of trying to bring somebody's past up to them. Get over on this other side and look through the eyes of Jesus and say, Jesus paid the price to redeem me to the Father. Because sometimes we forget how much he paid to redeem us. But he redeemed me so much, but also he's redeemed me on this relationship too, that I can forgive you because Jesus paid the price to redeem us. Why? So in the body of Christ, we can be one. There don't have to be schisms. We don't have to be upset with other ones. Dear Lord Jesus, so what do we do? Father, I forgive them. I pray, Lord, they're fulfilling your purpose and plan in their life. That's what you do time and time again. I hope I ingrain that into you, where after today you have a thought about someone, you'll just say, Father, I forgive them. I pray, Father, for them and their future. They'll walk in your love and your forgiveness. They'll fulfill your purpose, your plan. Just release them. So, and somebody said, well, I don't feel like doing that. Well, again, you don't be moved by your feelings. Don't move by how you feel. Do it because God told you to. I don't think these are, even in the Old Testament, God didn't give the 10 suggestions. And there's no expiration date on the Bible. It's still alive and well today because our God is the one that breathed it. Yes, men may have wrote it, because the Bible tells us that the prophets of old time, they wrote down the word of God. What is it? It's 1 Peter 2 of 20, no, 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then the 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. So what we see here is God is telling us you can forgive because you are forgiven. Now listen, that's good news for all of us. But what does the enemy attempt to do? He attempts to tell you not to forgive. That another person doesn't deserve it. And when you begin to think of these thoughts, another person does not deserve forgiveness, you are judging them. Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. If I judge, I'm not forgiving. I'm a hypocrite. That's exactly where the devil wants to get us. What does even refer to the Lord's Prayer? But forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, that's that correlation right there. We're either loosing the hands of God in our life and in the lives of others as we walk in forgiveness, or we're holding ourselves captive by the choices not to forgive. So, what's the myth? They have to apologize. No, they don't. Well, if you forgive them, then the relationship has to stay the same. No, if they broke the relationship, it's their responsibility to change and come back. Well, I must feel different. No, you don't base it on feelings. It's a decision. Well, if I forgive them, it means they're off scot-free. No, Jesus paid the price, not only for you, but also for you and that other person. Well, I can't forgive myself. That's probably the saddest one, though. I see people looking at their past. But if you've asked for forgiveness, what did the Lord say he would do? Remove it far as the east is from the west. Put it in the sea of forgetfulness. He's not going to remember. You bring it up to God, go say, what you talking about? It's wiped out. History may try to record it, but it's not in the heart of man, heart of God. History may record some things in your life, but it doesn't have to remain in your heart. Father, I forgive them. I pray they're walking in the center of your will, fulfilling your purpose and your plan. Every time something rises up, oh Lord, I had a business partner that I let him take the business, and because it was just kind of running tough, we had a heating and air conditioning sheet metal shop. And so I went to nuclear power plant for the construction of it, let him take the plant. But what he did, he just ran up a big bills. And my name was still on the everything in that company. And so all of a sudden, he says, I'm going to shut the business down. Well, when he did, now I've got thousands of dollars now I got to come up with. People say, well, why don't you go bankrupt? No, my name's on it. I'm only as good as my name. I'm going to pay it off, and I did. It took me some time to get it paid off. I forgave him, but I did not walk in a relationship of business with him anymore. You hear what I'm saying? He's my brother in the Lord, so I forgave him. But that doesn't mean I'm going to walk in that same relationship we once had. That may be hard for some people to take, but I hope you're understanding it. The most important things I want you to remember, though, is forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. Close your eyes right now. Father, I pray for every person in this room. First of all, Father, that they know you as Lord God Almighty and Jesus as their Lord. But Father, I pray also that right now, if you're bringing up somebody in their heart, in their mind, Lonnie's not doing it, that, Lord, you're bringing it up so that they can go free by forgiving and releasing someone in their life or several people, whatever the case might be. But, Lord, this is a night for the prison doors to swing open and all of these your people go free. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that as we open up these doors, we go free. It's giving you the liberty and the freedom now to operate in that other person's life to minister unto them. So, Father, tonight, every person you're bringing up. Lord, tonight when we go home, every person you bring up. Tomorrow morning when we wake up, every person you bring up in our heart. All week and the rest of our life, when you bring up people in our hearts of the past, Father, I pray that each one will remember, Father, I forgive them. I pray they're walking in the center of your will, fulfilling your purpose and plan. Lord, that forgiveness can flow. And Lord, there'll not be a schism definitely in the body of Christ. But Lord, it'll open us up even to the lost that we might minister even more to them. For Father, you told us that we need to love our God, but you also said we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, therefore, as we love others in the great commandment, out of that, I believe, will flow the great commission that we can go and minister to others in that freedom of forgiveness in our life and forgiveness in other people's lives. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray in Jesus' name. Now keep your eyes just closed for a second. Just you and God sitting there. Is he bringing somebody up? Don't push things out of the way, because if he's bringing it up, it's for a purpose. It's so you can declare, no, Lord, I forgive them. I pray they're walking in the center of your will, fulfilling your purpose and your plan. Yes, Lord, that they're walking in the center of your will, fulfilling your purpose and your plan. Lord, I do my part. I forgive them as you have. I'm choosing to allow you to go on the cross and pay the price. I'm not making them crawl on a cross. I'm not making them pay, Lord. No, you paid it for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I forgive them. And I pray they're walking in the center of your will, fulfilling your purpose and plan. Move in their life, Lord, I pray. Move in their life in Jesus' name. I believe that the Lord is going to be bringing up names to you. Just remember why he's doing it. So you'll know that you've released them. So you'll know that you've opened the door for God to touch their life. As you forgive them and pray for them, that they walk in the center of the will of God, fulfilling his purpose and his plan. Pudra casito rimoso. I pray that, Father. I hear in my spirit, the enemy tries to keep people in bondage throughout the land. He tries to hold them in bondage by tying their hand. But I've released them, even though they walk around with their hands behind their back. They are free now to lift up their hands and rejoice, but there's lack. It's because in their heart and their mind, they do not see themselves are free. But I declare to you, my children, I paid the price for all of you to run free. Not only you, but you can stand in the gap as you are ministers of mine, reaching out and forgiving and releasing my power in everyone that you find. As you see them, as I bring them to you, as they rise up in your heart, know that my spirit is wanting to flow to them. So from them, don't depart. But stay close in the spirit as you pray for them day after day, and you'll see my hand will be upon them in a brand new way. What seemed to be shut, what seemed to be closed, what seemed to be locked no more, because I will show them which way to go, and I'll open to them a brand new door. I did it for you, I'll do it for them, and I'll do so much more if you'll only just draw close to me. You can rejoice, that's right, and you won't have to be sore no more. Because my spirit will relieve the pressure even from within. And you'll find you begin to sing and you begin to shout, because I'll give you a song to sing. I'll put it in your heart and I'll release it inside of you. And great joy shall overflow, and you'll be known as my children forevermore. Oh, Spirit of grace, do your work, Lord. Lord, do your work in the hearts of these, your precious people. Lord, release. Tonight, Lord, I believe the prison doors have opened. Lord, and not only other people's going free, but Lord, they are going free in Jesus' name. Lord, we're not trying to bring something up that doesn't exist. We're just giving opportunity, Father, for the Holy Spirit to minister to each one, both tonight and for the rest of the days of their life, that they would walk in forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now, there's some of you really been abused, both physically and emotionally. Some days, but how can I forgive them? How can I forgive them? Because Jesus paid the price. Don't ever forget Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.